I can't tell you how much. Both new friends and old friends, and everyone with one purpose: to share the God experience. And I think we shall. The subject of tonight is a simple one, and yet too few people manage to achieve it. When you're walking, are you aware of where you are? When you step into an elevator, do you realize who is receiving you? When you go to the office, does it have a special meaning for you? Something brought alive by something that you happen to know. If your day is not that way, then you're not receiving grace. And if you're not receiving grace, there's something you should know. You and God are separate. There's no divinity in your life. There's no miracles in your life. Life has become a steady grind of 9 to 5, and it isn't the life of God. We want to find out why so few people achieve grace, and how we can be aware that the ground we walk on is very holy. You can transform your day in 2 minutes by knowing that the ground is made holy by God's presence. And in the next 2 minutes, you can go 5 steps further. You can realize that you are God's presence. But the big secret is that physical man is automatically separated from God. Physical man is not God's creature. Physical man is not created by God. And if you keep trying to pump some divinity out of physical man, you will be wasting your time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In humanhood, in physicality, which we will soon call corporeality, mankind is a lost sheep. He has no place to go. He is achieving nothing. He's simply going through the motion of what he calls living day by day. He may be brilliant. He may achieve many brilliant material things. There's no way he can get to the kingdom of God. And I'd like to be sure that the students here today have a keener vision, that they can see past the physical body. That the phrase, die to live, can be meaningful to them. And that corporeal man will cease to walk this earth. We are all interested in the spiritual consciousness. The consciousness that lives in the kingdom of God. And even though we, at the beginning, do not move as we would like to, later we find that a certain rhythm is built up, a certain awareness of something beyond the visible, and then of that intangible something which becomes very tangible in our life, which we call the grace of God. When God operates a person's life, that person ceases to be one. When God operates your life, you cease operating under material law. When God operates your life, divine law becomes your way. And then lo and behold, things that were impossible to you become commonplace. The way of the Lord is a way of miracles. And yet they're not miracles to God. They're just divine life brought forth, manifest. And then something seeps through your physical activities. And the reason is this. You have realized that you are not a physical being. And that enables the outer surface to become a structure which does not stand in the way of physical activity. You walk upon the water. Your bones not erode. Your lungs are clearer. The entire body is no longer a receptacle for negative forces. Something happens to you, something imperceptible, but it happens. And you find that a new confidence moves you. You feel capable of doing things you didn't know you could do. Some of the activities of your day become magical moments. You feel that whatever comes your way can be handled, and not by you. That there is a force operating. And this force operates in such a way that the kingdom of God opens up to you. And you understand the meaning of all that I have is thine. You become moved by incorporeal forces. Now, corporeality refers to physical structure. Incorporeality refers to the spiritual man. And the difference is that in corporeality you are limited to whatever you're capable of doing. And the limitations of corporeality are numerous. You're a separate individual. In incorporeality, the whole universe operates. and it manifests whatever it needs to do on your behalf. The difference is infinity and locality. The difference is eternality and time. You come off the time structure, off the time images, out of the sense images, and automation moves through you, doing things you would never have dreamed possible. We're told that we are now in the spiritual age. You're very far into it. You're coming into high consciousness. This spiritual age is going to transform man of earth from a corporeal creature to an incorporeal son of God. And it is my opinion that is not as far away as our beliefs might take us. We have reached the point now, as Infinite Way students, where when we discuss the possibilities of man on earth, we cannot stop at simple things. We cannot stop at having enough money to live on, or any of the ordinary things that we are willing to stop on. We must come to the impossible, because you have to move ahead. You cannot move ahead by doing the same things over and over and over. You've got to move ahead and up. Incorporeality, however strange it may seem to you, has got to become your way. You are an incorporeal spirit. And you can't go around thinking you're not, because you're in separation when you do. And I mean separation from the force of God. Now, divinity is the only quality of your being that operates with grace. Divinity is the only quality of your being that represents God. And when you are even willing to cast aside the belief that you are a corporeal human being, that becomes a major step. And it opens the floodgates to things you did not know were possible, and to the beginning of your sonship with God. You've got to come forth and be separate. You've got to take your life in your own hands and not be satisfied with the simple things that people are satisfied with. You've got to reach beyond your capacity. And then you'll find that you have more capacity than you realized. So in reaching, in accepting that you are not a corporeal being, that is the first step. And the reason you are not a corporeal being is because God never made one. as long as you go on thinking you're half corporeal and maybe half incorporeal, it's not enough. You cannot be a corporeal being. And when you put it off, then tomorrow is a corporeal day, and that's a day without God. When you put it off further, that's a year without God, so forth. God does not live in corporeality. Now, maybe you've never had to come to this conclusion. You've never been taught sufficiently that you've got to make these steps. So it may shock you, and you may decide, well, I heard it. I'll think about it. But there are some here who will not just think about it and who have not thought about it. They have acted upon it. And in acting upon it, they have discovered a newness in their life. They have discovered that they have begun to think about what is possible to them in the incorporeal life that is theirs. They know that corporeality must die. What's the sense of sitting there and spending another 30, 40 years and then dying? They know that incorporeality never dies. Why not spend those 30 or 40 years in attaining the consciousness of spirit, which is incorporeal? Do you get the point now that a new species is being formed? That incorporeal man has been on this earth as long as there has been an earth and has not recognized himself. And many incorporeal men and women have died because they did not know that they could not die. Their death was the going, the dying, and the returning to live again another corporeal life. There have also been those who have achieved the knowledge of incorporeality, who have passed into the invisible, who have not died. And they are with us, and they beckon us on. A caterpillar one day becomes a butterfly. What should we know about that? The one thing we very rarely take time to acknowledge is that when the caterpillar is a butterfly, the only thing that has changed is the form. The life is the same. There are two forms. The life of a caterpillar doesn't become the life, a new life, to be the life of a butterfly. The same life permeates both bodies, both forms, but one body. When you become aware of this, you realize it is possible for you to be in one form and in one body, and to leave that body and become another body and not change your life. And then further, it is possible to become not only an invisible life, it is possible to become the life of God. And that is done by a very simple process of knowing that it is so already. When you walk forth tomorrow, if I make an impression on you, you may begin to know that you are the life of God. You look just as you do now, but you won't be saying to yourself that this corporeal me is the life of God. No, the corporeal you is the life of man, the life of mortal. And are you ready to say that this corporeal you is not you? That it is the life of God? God made only one thing in this universe. Incorporeality. If you're not that, you're nothing. If you're that, all that I have is thine. This is a day for turning over, for moving out, for asserting yourself, for accepting that I am the life of God. And I cannot be less than perfect. Everything that appears imperfect about me is not me. Did you hear that? Everything that appears imperfect about you is not you. You are a perfect being. And what do you do when you're a perfect being and things are appearing imperfectly? You go to work and you acknowledge the presence of God within you and the impossibility of those things happening that seem to be happening. I mean, everything unlike God is unlike you. Not only that, but what is happening to you is only appearing to happen. And the reason it appears that way to you is because you're looking at it with the eyes of corporeality. When you are able to look at it with the eyes of incorporeality, you'll behold the Christ of God. This is just one class. But it's probably a class you're going to remember. And it leads, of course, to our Revelation class. But I felt that we could stand on truth for one night. And that Spirit moving us in such a way that the truth becomes something we can bear, perhaps perceive, and take with us, would change every day that we live from this point on. I hope it's that kind of a class. And I think for many of us it's going to be a very important change in our life. You say, I am going to go to the office tomorrow. And you've got to look at this as an incorrect statement. First of all, there will be no tomorrow in incorporeality. Incorporeality is eternally now. There are no days, although there appear to be. There are no months, no years. You're not getting older or younger. In incorporeality, you remain ever spiritual, which has no age. And then you learn how to look at your life in a new way. Let us try, if we can, to achieve something you haven't thought of doing lately. Perhaps not at all. Let's move out of the body. Let's try to see what life is like out of the body. Try not to be frightened. See if you can reach some kind of agreement with truth which says, I do not have a physical body. I realize I have an image which appears to be a physical body. And it's on the screen of time, which makes it almost impossible for anyone to know that it isn't there, because the world is in time. But suppose I see that time isn't there, and that image on the screen has no screen to be on. Let's look at time for a moment. Because of time, accidents occur, floods occur, diseases occur. They all take time. In fact, everything in our world takes time. Do you remember that statement of Jesus? I have overcome the world. Do you know who that I was? The Spirit of God. And that same I in Jesus is the I in you, which has overcome the world. When you catch up with it, you'll find that you too can say, I have overcome the world. These are heady things to learn about, but it's time to learn, and because you're learning them, the day will come when things will be easier. I have overcome the world. I am the Son of God. I and the Father are one. Those have all been statements. And we've made those statements. They've got to be more than that. Think of them a moment. How can I be the Son of God in a physical body? I refuse to inhabit that which God did not create. And I know this leaves you nowhere puzzled. But you've got to get to that place. You've got to get to that place of puzzlement where you're facing the issue. I cannot live in a body God did not create. I cannot live in a body which is only an image in space and time. Can you begin to feel the possibility of not really living in a physical body? Do you see the freedom that you would inherit? You could never be sick if you're not in a physical body. Do you think it's a game somebody is playing on you? And listen to the words of Christ. Know no man after the flesh. And includes you. And your son and your daughter, they are not physical beings. The world has been held captive in corporeality. And you and you and you and those of us who are stepping out are entering the new world of incorporeality. We are really becoming invisible beings, which we have always been. Now think for a moment that when you become an invisible being, which means you live in yourself, you are liberated from the chain of materiality, time, space, and motion. And you find that that is the only time that grace functions for you. It will not be held by the limitations of physical matter. And then you walk along the street and you don't know why, but something is moving you differently. There's this force at work, but it's at work because you are not the same person. You were corporeal. You accepted corporeality. You accepted all the matter in the world. But for this moment, knowing it does not exist, you are releasing spiritual power. Spiritual power that you alone can affect. You don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to go to the chiropractor. You don't have any bones to set. You don't have to go to the practitioner. Because the only thing he knows is what you are learning. God is your practitioner. God is your doctor. And then later you'll learn something else about God. It's all a process of learning more and more about God as you go along, and not permitting yourself the luxury or the mistake of not following the instructions that God gives you. Can you make a quiet pledge to yourself? I will practice being a non-physical being, which is all incorporeal means. I will practice it a half hour a day. Practice that. Affirm your incorporeality. Affirm that you have no physical organs. You'll find that even your brain is part of corporeality, that trusted equipment. But if you practice it, you will learn that there's something that is higher than the brain. You'll come into the workshop of the soul. You'll find that there are no parts. Your body doesn't have a heart. Your body doesn't have liver or lung or so forth. Everything is interwoven. And it's run by the soul of the universe. And you're moving on a different level. And that is the real you. The you created by God. You'll find that many powers denied to you in the world are at your fingertips when you have reached a level in which you can know that the incorporeal reality of my being is here and there and everywhere. You won't worry about Iraq. You won't worry about any physicalities. You'll bounce out of them as if you didn't have them. You'll find there are no miscarriages. And the way to start practicing is to do precisely what we just did, to meditate, quietly accept the fact that I and the Father are one. The one who is one with God cannot be corporeal. To be one with incorporeality, which God is, you must be incorporeal. You must practice it. So in a sense, you've got a double personality for a while. While you're appearing one way at the office or in the house, you're practicing, I am in corporeal being. That's your reality. This house person, this office person, you can convert that one to incorporeality and find even it does incredible work. Its speed, its accuracy, all of the things it does under the incorporeal label, when that is part of your consciousness, it does perfectly. It's only when you become separated from this incorporeal self that you begin to flounder. Now, do you feel at the moment that you can't find yourself? You can't quite say, I know who I am now. A moment ago or two, you knew who you were, sitting in a chair as a person. In your incorporeality, you can't quite make up your mind at first. Where am I? How do I go about living in the midst of people? Will they think I'm strange? Will I think they're strange? How do I do it? Before you reach those questions, remember this. People die. There has never been an incorporeal death in the universe. The stakes are in your favor. Every major light in this universe has been an incorporeal being. And we have thought of them as people. If you want to pursue this subject, Joel has a 10th chapter, Beyond Words and Thoughts. 10th chapter, Beyond Words and Thoughts, I think, is incorporeality. What you should do is swim in it, live in it, breathe in it, do everything you know how to dwell in that consciousness. It's the way to eternal life. And there is no other way. We have overlooked it. Some of the teachers have taught it, perhaps. But basically, it has not been stressed every once or twice. And then you go on your way and forget it. And then when you're 70 and 80, you're a corporeal corpse, which I'd like to see stopped. Let's hold that consciousness.